This week on RSBNB Update, Earth joins us as a surprise guest where we discuss the new in-game calendar, which seems a little less than planned. Also changes to the in-game interface editor and group Iron Man discussion. Plus, stay tuned for Shane's big RSBNB Update announcement. This is RSBNB Update, episode 676, recorded Wednesday, June 20th, 2018, The Unplanned Calendar. Hello, everybody, and thank you once again for joining us for RSBNB Update. Tanis and myself are here this week, as we are each and every week. Welcome back, Tanis.
Thank you, Shane.
Good to be here, and also joining us this week is Earth. You'll remember him from Quest Weeks and various other episodes in the past of RSBNB Update. Welcome back, Reed or Earth, depending on what you want to be called.
I think we all know what I want to be called, Shane.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we're not going to say that because, that would increase the amount of editing that I would need to throw in for this episode.
You're going to bleep out my name? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, if your name's Earth, that's perfectly fine.
I mean, there is one way to find out. Isn't that right, Shane?
Well, currently... He's going to start the show over if I do this.
No, I won't. Well, maybe. We'll see, but... We're here this week to discuss the RuneScape update of the week. And, you know... In some ways, Earth joining the channel here and chatting with us on this episode is a bit of an extension of this week's RS update because, you know, Tanis, you and I were talking before this episode and we were like, are we gonna have a show this week based on the content that's here?
On the show, yeah. Guys.
Yeah.
So there we are. There we are. And, you know, if you're wondering what Earth's name is in Discord, I'll just point you guys to the update channel in the RSBNB Discord.
Why don't you say it, Shane?
No, I'm not saying that.
Why don't you say it?
This is, well, you know what I'm thinking, Shane? This is why, you know, sometimes we rely on the listeners for those discussion topics and questions coming in. Because sometimes... It really helps out the show.
Yeah, and they're definitely going to help out this week because, you know, both of them have good depth to them. So This week's main update is the new in-game calendar, which, you know, goes back to Game Jam of 2017, believe it or not. When we first heard of this update, I think lots of people were very pleased with what we were going to be getting from this. But, you know, lo and behold, at the end of the day... It's a calendar, and I don't know what there is to say about this calendar right off the bat, aside from that, if you're looking at this and you're wondering what the heck all of the icons are on this calendar and you are deeply confused, I completely empathize with you.
You know, I looked at it and I was confused because there are no hot chicks anywhere on this calendar. None.
Wait, so...
Not even one.
Picture that's on this news post, that's what it looks like?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was ASCII. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was like, you know, like the text art that people do. Like, it just...
No, that's real.
I'm logging in right now. I want to see
someone
this
made that.
Yeah.
So
I almost said it again, Shane.
So
you're welcome.
Thank
I censored
you.
Myself.
So basically, what you have is you have a calendar that you open it up, you click on the in-game clock to access it, and then once you do that, another window also pops up. It's called the day planner, where you can see what's going on for a specific day. And when you're in there, you're able to filter by clicking on the filter in the top left between news posts, treasure hunter, boss masses, live streams, mini games, seasonal event, and miscellaneous things. Yeah.
And the sad thing is, it's nothing that you care about that much. Like the live streams, that's kind of cool because I always forget when those are. But other than that, like this isn't. I don't know. like, oh, I'm so glad you got new Treasure Hunter promotions on there. I mean, what would I do if I didn't know that?
So, and, you know, okay, I see what you saw there. All right, I'm not going to tell the listeners what that is because I don't think that's something we should.
Oh, shit.
I'm sorry.
Oh, good heavens.
This is, I hate it.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
And, I mean, it's a good idea in theory. I will give them that. You know, it has lots of promise going forward. But as it loads up with the news post, the Treasure Hunter, the boss masses, the live streams, the minigame, everything under the sun on the calendar, it's a mess in terms of clarity. Can't tell
at a
glance.
They need to add a legend.
Exactly.
Well, they have a legend with the little filter thing.
It's not enough.
But, I mean, I've been looking at this for 30 seconds, and I just noticed that.
Yeah.
Why is there a skull? What does that mean? And then there's like a +3 when there's too much stuff. Oh my god, I clicked on that. Oh my god, this is even worse.
And
oh my god.
Also
Look
with
at this,
this. Also with this, when you click on a date, so if you click on the 19th right now, I'm guessing it's a North American time-based issue. It'll actually show the events for the 18th. So that's one bug with it. Jagex is aware of it. It was due to an engine issue. They're unlikely to have it patched for this coming Monday, but it'll definitely be something that they're going to be working on going forward. And, you know, this screenshot here that you just posted, completely illustrates the issue with this update, and that's that it's just oh so busy.
This screenshot I just posted, I look at this, I literally don't know what's going on.
No, and I mean, honestly, this is the headlining update of the week, and I've seen way better Ninja updates that they didn't promote at all. Like, quality of life fixes are a bigger deal. In my book.
Yeah, and in some ways, you know, this should have been tucked into the patch notes because it's not a headlining update. And what would be good with this would be to, instead of, you know, needing to go into that filter menu and choose what you're seeing, is to have a drop-down legend to say what the purple is, what the green is, what the orange is, and whatnot, and explain from there on out. And what you can also do with it is if you see the calendar, you can see that specific events have a crown next to them. Those are events that are run by a JMod. So,
yeah, like, I should not have to filter something for it to be usable.
Right.
It should be usable in its state already. But, like, again, at the screenshot I just posted, I literally don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, and, you know, when it comes down to me with this update, I think filter everything out for the default view on this calendar, except for news posts, Treasure Hunter, because, I mean, you have to give Jagex the benefit of the doubt and allow them to promote their product and the live streams. And let everyone turn on all of the other little miscellaneous events in there, because there are events that are run by community members who are highlighted in the news posting. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if anyone is going to go to these community events. I don't know. I don't know anyone who has gone to them. So
that's XP waste. Sorry.
Yeah.
I ain't got time for that.
And see, that's the thing. Who has gone to one of those events, right?
That could come in handy when they were run into, like, remember, like, the road trip where you had to get stamped or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it could be useful in that case. But otherwise, no, not really.
Yeah, and there's also issues with the buttons not working correctly on the day planner, not jumping backwards and forwards between dates and whatnot. So, I mean, yes, sure, there might be some engine issues on the back end that were causing this, but at the same time, it's not a usable update at this point in time. I don't know what would make this usable in terms of being shipped. And, you know, this is something we'll potentially be talking about on another show at some point in the future, and that's whether or not Jagex should be posting their news posts or community feedback anymore about the official forums. But there was a post on the RuneScape subreddit by Mod Eritor, who went through the various issues with the calendar with this. So, and he basically boils it down to an engine issue that should in turn resolve most of the other errors that people are experiencing when trying to navigate the system. So, I don't know. Right now, this calendar is not usable. I'm not going to click it. And I don't know what the game plan is going forward to this to make it, you know, something that the community base will rally around. Because, like it or not, I think most people are playing RuneScape to get their own XP. Maybe not. Go to a clan event. But beyond that, maybe the big boss masses. But I'm not sure what else the general populace uses it for. Well, though with that being said, we don't have the metrics for this now. So that's just what we're gathering based on the people we know, when it could be entirely different.
Yeah, you know, but I feel like we're a pretty good cross section of the RS community. I mean, that's why you've been on the air so long, Shane. So I don't find it. I don't see the purpose, unfortunately. Like it sounded like a great idea.
Oh yeah.
But other than the live streams, I don't know. Maybe it's just the stuff that they put on it. I'm not going to say no one, but the stuff that they put on it, I don't personally care about. I don't know what miscellaneous
means.
I don't know what minigame means. I don't know what any of this, like, I don't know what half the stuff means.
Seems like most of the clutter is coming from community events.
Yeah.
And that's something
like,
else.
Go ahead. My biggest issue with this is I look at this. I don't know, like, okay, it's a skull. I even hover over it and nothing appears. Like, I literally don't even know how to. I mean, oh, I see. It opens a separate window when you click on the day, showing what there is. This is awful design.
Yeah, I feel like somewhere there's a single tear coming out of Sirion's eye.
You know, I thought of having him on the show this week, but I needed to do an evening one because of other time constraints. And that would have been a fun thing to ask him about on this. So,
trust me, yeah. There's a tear. Oh, there's a single tear.
Yeah, it just this is not usable.
And there's also another area I think that we could go forward on with this in the future, and that's that, you know, rather than just having everything based on the Jagex events, eventually, and, you know, I'm not saying this needs to be done right now, and I'm not saying it would be an easy thing to do, but just get to a point where fan sites, clans, and other community-based organizations can find a way to submit relevant data to them. The reason I think that this is a far ways off is because I can imagine the engine work going on behind the scenes to, for example, link an event to a friend's chat or link an event to a clan, and then having that appear in the calendar might be a whole other task in itself. So, you know, that would be a fun thing to have, I think. And I think we would all be very interested in that because, you know, that's always been the number one issue for event planning, you know, aside from selling events other than XP waste, is, you know, finding a nice and easy way of getting your community to go to them. So,
yeah, I mean, speaking as a RSVNB community ambassador and former head of the events crew at Clan Quest, it is a pain in the ass to get people to events. It even was back in the day, but now, like, you literally cannot pull people away.
No. And you know
so,
what, like...
I mean, even the major fan sites, all of their events crews have shut down as of, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah,
I think you did a bit of a poll on that, didn't you?
You went around and you asked everyone how their events crews were doing.
Yeah, and like all of them, the only one that was left was Tippett, and they hadn't, like, it was on the way out. I'm sure it's gone now. But
and see, this could have been the revitalization to it, but engine work and, you know, just providing a nice, accessible way of doing it.
I think, but I don't know. I think it's more than that. I think it's like what Earth was talking about, is pulling people away. So like there's one event that we still have people come to a lot in the clan, and we do Skilling Sunday. Essentially, you always have an avatar there on, you know, multiple, at least three worlds, which we're not even going to need that here pretty soon. And then you put down your portables and people can just skill, you know, and do that kind of stuff. But that is the only event I have seen in years that people will go and do.
Yeah, and you know, I think when it comes down to it, combat events are popular because there's a chance of getting something out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you might have a chance to actually go and do it without certain stuff.
Yeah, there's that too.
You know, you know, if you're terrible like I am.
Yeah. I'm actually just going to, you know, give a bit of an example here for people watching the YouTube version when that eventually comes out. So if you go to your calendar and you just click it, you're basically going to get to a point here. And you can see I have a filtered one right now. I've filtered out miscellaneous, and that removes a bunch of other events. And for some reason, the miscellaneous event is the ... ellipsis. Now, if you filter everything out, if you remove seasonal, you remove mini games, you remove boss masses, and you just now have a calendar with news postings and live streams on them, that's actually manageable. Now, if you add back Treasure Hunter to it, you'll be able to see what all the different Treasure Hunter promotions are for that day. And I know there are people out there who don't like Treasure Hunter, but, you know, it is a part of the revenue stream these days, so it has to be there. So, and when you filter it down to that, you have a nice, calm looking calendar. And then instead, what could have been done is up here in the filter icon, you could have just had little icons, you know, for the bosses and the mini games and whatnot and the seasonal events. And I don't know, maybe miscellaneous could have been a question mark instead, though that might not have been a good idea. And then you could have just had little icons at the top and you would be able to filter right through them. So that's one idea of how you could have made it better. Another thing that could have been done to improve the usability on the calendar is that rather than having little individual boxes for each event taking place, like the live stream or the news posting and whatnot, if it's something that persists multiple days, just make the grids bigger and have the pink line, or perhaps the orange line if it was Treasure Hunter, extend out throughout that entire week. Then you would know what that line is symbolizing, rather than having to go into each one and figure out what they're for. So
I my biggest thing is a calendar isn't new. Like it's not a new invention. I'm a little baffled at how this looks.
Yeah, well, you
it
know,
could have it, been done.
It started as a Game Jam 2017. So it was a player-suggested idea.
Wolfie in the chat says, just make the calendar a week at a time and you can see them written out. And that was actually exactly what I was about to suggest. Like, just take the timeline down a bit and just write it out. There's no reason to use all of these symbols.
Oh, there we go. You know, almost 20 minutes in and we have a discussion on how to make the calendar better than it is currently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know anyone who's going to use this. It's going to stay closed. So maybe I'm just a different kind of RS player, but that's the boat that I'm in. I don't know. Anyone listening to this right now in chat is going to end up using the calendar, do you guys think? Raise your hands, yes. Yes, no, maybe so.
My hand is
down. Okay, Wolfie said yes, kind of.
I mean, I think it's a fantastic idea. I just think it's poorly executed.
Yeah, I mean, Stowe has one, and we use that quite often.
Yeah, like that just pops up, and You hit J and it's right there and it shows you what's going on. Like, hell, they don't even have a real calendar. They just have the dates. It's like there's an upgrade weekend, whatever, like June 20th through June 22nd. Like, that's all they need.
Yeah, and you know, this update in general, I think, also kind of is what we talked about on the bank rework taster episode when we talked about the what feels like a lack of user experience focus at Jagex and just not a standard currently for the user interface. And that's why we were kind of worried when the poll question came up about whether or not there was going to be a user interface rework. So...
Yeah, don't get me started.
Oh, I know. I know. I know. That's a topic for another show, and I mean it this time.
Do you?
I really do.
Mm. We're keeping track now.
Yeah, we are. Mm.
Add it to the list, Shane.
Yeah, it has been added to the list. That was actually one of the first ones I put in. So, all right.
Attaboy.
We're going to move on to the patch notes right now. Of course, with the patch notes, every week there is interesting ones. And, you know, I think the patch notes are going to be more interesting and more fulfilling than the calendar is. So just starting off this week. All right. Starting off this week, a new mini quest section has been added under the miscellaneous section in your achievements. And with the clan achievements have also been moved from exploration to the new miscellaneous section. So for those of you guys who go achievement hunting, you'll now be able to find the clan achievements rather than in exploration there in miscellaneous. And I think that makes sense because what does clan have to do with exploration? So that was good. That was good. Mm-hmm. Now, moving on to some fixes here for Solak. They're still throwing this in. I think we're, 3 weeks now after the release of Solak here? So definitely.
Gosh, hasn't been that long.
Yeah, they're definitely rolling out the fixes and improving the boss as we go. So starting off with this, players will now be resurrected by the power of the Grove should they die after freeing Solak. So basically this means that after the boss is over, there was still a chance that you could end up dying. So that won't happen now. You'll be resurrected in that case. Now, they also made a number of changes to the various fight phases here. So in phase one, failing the lockdown mechanic in duo mode will now spawn one less blightbound lasher. Also, the arms and legs, both the arms and legs during this lockdown mechanic now have timer bars. I think David mentioned that when he was on the show that it was kind of hard to know how long you had to kill the arms and the legs. So there's now timer bars associated with them. The volatile roots in Solak's arms and legs will no longer return to their full life point amount should a player stop attacking them. And this is in phase one.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
And this is in phase one. So this is really early on in the boss fight. So that's good. Now in phase two, the click radius on the anima eruptions has been slightly reduced, and a message will now consistently display when the anima storm has been fully depleted. I think we also talked about that you had to be aware of when it was actually over, and that was kind of causing the concern about whether or not it was phase two or phase three, but what we're seeing now is effectively a split into three phases here by Jagex. Also, the click radius on Solak's arm during the binding crush mechanic has been reduced. So, you know, you can see here there's a change to make it easier in some spots, but there's also a change to make it harder in some spots by, you know, reducing click radiuses and whatnot on these as
It just seems like a refinement, I guess. But the people that learned to do it that first week, though, they're probably going to be really good at it now.
Yeah, and you can see this in phase three here because Aerithor's life points have been reduced from 500,000 to 250,000 in duo mode. So that's cut by half for phase three.
Yeah.
But that's only in duo mode. So that should make duo mode, I guess, a lot easier to tackle. But on the same side of it, they buffed Aerithor by increasing his stats. So I haven't been to fight the boss, so I don't know what that'll mean in terms of difficulty. But it's there. Now into the Hall of Memories, last week's divination update. How's that going for you, Tanis?
I'm done, and I'm never going back.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay. All right. So multiple players can no longer catch the same knowledge fragment and core memory in the Hall of Memories. The core memory now has a minimum time cap of 30 seconds before it next spawns. So I'm guessing what that means is that you can't have more than one appearing every 30 seconds, because if you did that, you would start to fill those plinths relatively quickly, and you could use that to summon the big central memory that is good for lots of XP and energy coming in. Now some little changes here. There's nothing in terms of accessibility on these, which is kind of unfortunate. The Master Clue Scroll Riddle for gathering a Radiant Memory can now be completed in the Hall of Memories, and Divination Daily Challenges for Luminous Memories and above can now also be completed in the Hall of Memories. So, beyond that, you know, just a couple of achievements, not awarding rune score correctly, and the Makes X option for memory shards now use their own distinct crafting menu instead of the Make X menu. So nothing in terms of accessibility there, and I know that was probably our only complaint about last week's update.
So. Yeah, I mean, it was for me. It just was, not really any thought put into that, but just too bad, because it was an okay update, you know? I mean, it wasn't a bad update at all. Just lacked stuff.
Lacked substance and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, all right. So this next patch note or group of patch notes is something that, you know, has been an issue going back to the release of RS3, because, you know, RuneScape 3 has a user editable interface, and, you know, from time to time, you get lots of questionable interfaces appearing that players submit. So basically what's happening with this, 3D world editing, minigame HUD editing, and gameplay HUD's editing checkboxes have been removed in favor of an advanced options button. Now, when you open this button, you get a new dialog box here with a list of checkboxes allowing you to toggle all of the various items that you could potentially ever want to move around in the RuneScape interface. Because if you did this previously, you had like 25 different layers that you had to click through and figure out what was what. So that has now been cleaned up. So now, when you do this, you can toggle each one on and off independently. The following will be enabled by default. These include the buff bar, crafting progress, the debuff bar, the minigame HUD, and XP pop-ups. Hiding the majority of them by default, they say, will help keep edit mode from feeling cluttered and overwhelming. Now, there's some special notes with this, that the combat target window checkbox will only appear if the combat target window is undocked from above the target's head, and two options are hidden specifically until they're needed. Split private chat, which was renamed from private chat, and the combat target window. And the split private chat box will only appear if the split private chat is enabled in the game settings. So here we are, you know, a number of years after RuneScape 3 came out, 5 years after RS3 came out. And, you know, I think it finally got to a point where this was getting really messy if anyone ever tried to edit their interface. I don't edit my interface often, but I can say that, you know, just having another look at this, this makes it a lot easier to figure out what's going on behind the scenes for the interface. So this was something that was needed for a long time and is probably the patch note of the week. So
that's really good, because I mean, as someone who took a break and came back, like, I don't know if, like, when I was doing URIT a couple of days ago, like, this new interface has been out for how long, Shane?
We've had this since RS3, so 2013.
Like, I literally don't know how to get to the emotes menu. I had to put a keybind for it to get it to open up. Like, I'm not sure
that's under social, but I'm not 100% sure.
Exactly. You should know. And I'm not like, okay, that's poorly worded. I'm not calling you out. Like, you, Shane, you should have known that. Like,
and you're not being pedantic
either. It should be where it is. Like, And the same thing, whenever I need to access the clan settings, I think it is. Like, I don't know how to reopen those windows.
Yeah,
if they're closed.
Oh, yeah. I've almost kicked someone before by accident because of that.
And, I mean, I'm not that bad, but, you know. Like, I just don't know if that's because of the interface I have designed, because I like mine to be minimal, but, like, I don't know how to reopen all of these windows. Like, is that just me, or is this a common issue?
That's a common issue for me.
Okay. What about all of our friends here in the chat?
I would personally use the legacy interface if the minimap was bigger and it had the modern icons on the minimap. It's common for me, so yes.
Well, Shane is also probably not the best source for figuring out how to do things.
Why would you say that?
Do you want a list?
No, I don't want a list. Not on the podcast currently.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. But you know, that's a general issue, and that's something I want to look into in the future, is figuring out if, you know, is there any way we could effectively streamline the modern RS3 interface? But
yeah, I mean, they made good steps towards that now. I don't know. I have a tendency to get mine where I want it and leave it, and then use like those presets for different things. So I probably have like 3 or 4 of them, and I just switch between those for what I'm doing. Yeah. Then I don't have to, you know, like remember where everything is, because if I had to do that, forget it. Like, yeah, forget that.
All right. Now some other little fixes along the way here. Telos kills will no longer be added twice to your adventure's log if killed at above 100% in rage.
All right, cool. I remember that next time I killed Telos over 100% in rage.
Yeah, you're only going to get credited for the one that you deserve now. A tooltip has been added to the Necklace of Binding, which allows you to see how many charges you have remaining. That's good if you do combination runecrafting. And just a little PSA out there to everyone, that if you're looking for a very fast way of making money these days, many of the combination runes are indeed great money today. Mud runes, dust runes, and whatnot. Really, really good. And I think even though they changed the rotation of the bank at Shattered Worlds, that is still a good way to access the water altar if you're making one that is focused around water runes. So there's that. Now moving on to the ninja fixes, a boss health bar has been added to the Hurricane in the fight kiln. Okay.
I can't believe that wasn't there.
Yeah, right?
Like, how long has that boss been there?
Yeah.
Wow.
I should probably do fight kiln one day to get the upgraded cape.
You haven't done the fight kiln, Shane?
No.
Do you play this game?
Not the combat side of it. I am slowly rediscovering the Slayer skill.
Yeah, I'm the same way, although I play less than Shane, so
yeah.
Like I only got my fire cape a few years ago.
Oh wow, okay.
Probably 2014. I've played since 2004.
Yeah.
So. And I got mine late, but that's like one boss that I used to do, just because people are like, "Oh man, you did the kill," and I'm like, "Yeah." I didn't. But I guess it's no one really expected me to get through it, so it's kind of cool.
Now you need to go solo Rexxar.
Nope.
Dude, I can't. I've tried. I try and try. Yeah. When he does that, when he's like jumping from, you know, you have to, it's almost like a quick time event. You have to hit the buttons.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
It kills me.
Gross.
It just kills me every time.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. The message you receive when you have the maximum amount of memory strands is stored is now filtered. So that's a divination update pertaining to the memorial to Guthix, which, you know, the cap is at 10,000. And if you've been, you know, just doing divination to gather energy to sell it and to convert them into charges, you're going to see that message quite often. So it's nice that they're finally filtering that away. Because you're going to stack.
Had that. You know, I've had that message for like 6 months now, because I don't want to go find those pebbles again and like
yeah,
you know, prestige yeah. it. Yeah. I'm just like, nah, I'll wait.
Yeah, and I mean, I did that update. I think I mentioned it last week before the Hall of Memories came out, and you know, I thought I was I had done nothing, but apparently I was 60% done out of the first way through it. I don't know how that happened because, Tanis, I think you were on the first show of 2017 when we talked mm-hmm. about that update, and I was I was coming off a bad cold there, so I might have done it when I was on cold medicine and not realized it.
Just be sleep clicking.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Next up, Death Touch darts can now be stored in a keepsake box if you want to make it look like you're fighting everything with Death Touch darts. And I mean, that's not that big of an issue now because you can purchase those darts for, I think, 5 million GP whenever they come up at the Traveling Merchant and Deep Sea Fishing. So.
Okay. I was about to ask that question. Can you even get those anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, you can get lots of things at the Deep Sea Fishing Merchant. So.
Neat.
The confirmation.
Yeah, you just have to find that chat.
Yeah, yeah. I normally ask around, you know, has anyone gone to the merchant today? And if they're going to the merchant, I'll go with them. Just, you know, do it as a group. Better that way. You know, speaking of that, I got 1 million Shattered Worlds anima the other day for, think it was, what would it have been? I don't know how much the GP was. It was a relatively low cost, but there was two packets of 500K Shattered anima available there. So, you know, that's a nice way of getting the abilities. You just do it over time.
Yeah. I just want all of the livid points.
Oh yeah.
Give me
yeah.
all of them.
Did I tell the story on the podcast how, I went there once and there was a livid plant and it gave me upwards of almost 35K livid farm points.
Yeah. And I've been jealous ever since.
What? How many points is like one thing, like the lowest spell?
200,000 or something, but
Shane.
Four.
See, I really want those spells, but I also don't want to sit there for like literally 24 hours of game time.
Yeah. I really want to comp, but I literally can't do Livid Farm. I can't.
Like, I literally don't want to do that.
Well, there's a means for you guys to go to the Traveling Merchant then.
Mm-hmm. Will you pay for it, Shin?
No, I don't have enough money to bankroll all of those.
Well, why not?
I don't have that kind of GP in RS.
Damn it.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. All right. Other things on the patch note this week. The confirmation message when activating the Herblore skill cape has been removed. I don't know why there was one in the first place. Golden God Swords have been graphically updated to appear more golden. And the giant...
What does the cape do?
It cleans all the herbs in your inventory.
Oh, I mean, that makes sense. Why? Because that decreases the value.
Yeah.
30 ones normally yeah. sell for more.
Do they?
I
thought clean ones sell for more.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's neat. Let's see. Currently, Toad Flax, the clean Toad Flax are going for about 100 GP more than the dirty ones.
Oh, okay.
So, relatively equal for those. Clean Dwarfweed more. Torstal more. Lenant more. So, yeah, in general, the clean ones go for more.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Yeah.
Now, the Giant Dwarf quest is now started by talking to Commander Veldabin in Keldegrim. You'll first need to travel to Keldegrim still via the Dwarf Boatman and complete Keldegrim's introductory cutscene, and this allows skillers to enter Keldegrim without meeting the quest's requirements.
Oh, so there's some combat requirements for him?
Yeah, and you know, I can see why they do this, because you can... There's many clues you can get that are now in Keldegrim, the elite scan clues and whatnot. So, I mean, if you're not, you know, necessarily doing
anything... Like, do skillers do clues?
Yeah, you can get them from skilling now. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
but
that's true.
What do you do about the people who want to fight you?
Ring of recoil? maybe? I don't know. I have no idea.
Hope you don't get a wizard.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Now, you know, we're a bunch of questers here, probably, except for Tanis. Do you guys think that this, I guess I'm just asking you here, does this devalue the quest if you can access Keldegrim without completing it or starting the quest?
Didn't you have to finish it before you could access Keldegrim? No, because you had to go...
You had to run around in the city.
Yeah, but you could still access it.
Yeah, so you just had to start it. So,
I mean, it's not, I don't really think it devalues it.
It's not huge, but it's definitely something.
I mean, I still think it's a little odd.
Yeah, it's the start of that quest series. Requirements are 12 crafting, 16 fire making, 33 magic, and 14 thieving.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense because there's not really any reason to deny entry to a city because you don't meet the requirements for a quest you weren't going to do anyway.
Yeah.
I
don't think we'll ever see that happening for Prif, though.
That was exactly what I was thinking.
I think that's also something completely different because you have to go through the whole storyline. Like, you don't even find out that it's a thing, and then you find out that it got turned into crystal or it, like, got reverted, I mean, or something. Like, you have to go through a process with that. I get that. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So that's fair then. All right. So our next piece of news this week is that the Group Iron Man blog posting was released, and we got a bit of a rundown of how this is now going to work and what they are kind of thinking they want to do with this here. So the first thing I think we need to get out of the way here is that the Group Iron Man system currently has no ETA of when it will be completed. So, because there's going to be engine work and whatnot that needs to be done with it. So what they did here is they went through a number of the various questions that were asked about this here. So the first one is, do you plan on playing Group Iron Man when the new mode releases? And, you know, the poll result on that was 42% yes, 57% no. And they asked that question to filter out results from players who plan to play the game mode and those who don't. So that's why they asked that. It wasn't necessarily to decide on if we're going to do this or not.
All right. Well, and I would say half of that 42% lied.
Mm-hmm.
Lied. They might try it, but how many will keep playing?
Maybe 10.
Yeah, I mean,
people.
I hate to be Debbie Downer, but
it's a huge commitment.
Waste of resources.
It's a huge commitment.
And it's a waste of resources. That could have been used for something else. Here's the thing. People are really into Iron Man. They're already really into Iron Man. And the thought of, like, doing it with someone else kind of defeats the purpose of being a freaking Iron Man. So I don't... It doesn't make any sense in any way you look at it. Like, it just doesn't.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement.
That's what I feel with the Iron Man system as well. It's supposed to be one person playing the game and figuring out how far they can get with it. Now it's being expanded outwards to this. So with this being said, the next question is, what is the desired group size? There was a tie between 2 and 4 players at 24%, 3 players 12%, 5 players 16%, and 6 plus players 22%. So that's pretty huge. So here's Jagex's rationale on the various sizes here. 2 players keeps the group small, allowing your pair of friends to play the game as they see fit at their own speed. 3 players. 1 person is alone. 2 people are a relationship pair. When it comes to 3, there's a big leap in perception. Within the 3, there's a greater sense of cohesion and collective power. And then when they reach 4 players, there's much more chance that someone within the group will fall behind if they're unable to play as much as the other 3. So that's why they're not looking at 4, at least from the sounds of it here.
So you can trade between your friends, but only your friends.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question. If you want to do that, why don't you and your friends just make a normal account
and make it a pseudo
and do it that way? And then if someone leaves, you're not screwed.
And here's the thing, though. Like, the Iron Man can already do group bossing, right? So all this is trading. So, but that's, like Irv said, why not just make a regular account if that's what you're wanting?
What if
you're trading?
We made this thing where we could just let everyone trade. We could call it, like, the Grand Auction House or something.
I bet put it in Barack. There'd be no limits on the trading?
Yeah, there'd be no limits. That sounds like a great idea. Where can I pitch this to Jagex?
We could put them in all the major cities, you know, Varrock, Prif, Menifos, you know, all of them.
Yeah, I like it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, So what did they say, Shane? Like, are we looking at... So they're not looking at a foursome, but they're either looking at twos or threes?
Well, they say it's they realize it's not needed to set a single hard group size, and the player should have the freedom to group with however many people you see fit or desirable. But friends who want to duo together will have that option, but they shouldn't be locked out of content due to a minimum group size. And what they're saying is that once a group has been created, they will be classified into their group size, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
I think we should put some rules to that. Number one, threesomes get complicated, so we might not want those.
Yeah, two, you always got to do it, you know, one person you know, one person you're never going to see again.
Yeah, and someone always feels left out, you know. It's,
yeah,
it's,
it just doesn't work out well.
Right, and if you do the twosomes, it should be mandatory that you play on the e-dating world.
You have to follow each other and rock.
And dance.
One has to have Mr. in the name. The other has to have, not to be exclusive. It has to be very clear. Like, it could be Mr. and Mr. It has to be very clear that, you know, you belong to each other.
Yeah,
it should be an exchange of jewelry.
Obnoxious about
so, from the sounds of it, there is no actual, set size here with this. And you know, I think two is the simplest way to go, but you don't get the same experience as you would with three or four, and five becomes cumbersome. So I don't know.
It's more intimate though. So
three is the magic number.
Okay.
But you just gotta.
All right. All right.
Pick your partners smartly.
Now, moving away from partners, should a group Iron Man be able to group up with other Iron Men for bossing purposes? 37% yes, 36% but only with other group Iron Men, and 25% said no in this. And they say that this was one of the biggest discussions about group Iron Man, is will group Iron Man bossing be able to group with other Iron Men in order to gain gear? And poll option...
I don't know. So, not the group Iron Man we have now, but like two groups of different Iron Man
that we're going to potentially be getting here.
So,
and maybe group
you
with
have to bring
Iron
your
Man
own
Man
partner.
Well.
So you'd have to bring your own partner to the party. You couldn't just show up.
Yeah, that's one option. And the other one, they say, if we did allow group Iron Man to team with seasoned Iron Men, this would allow them to boost quickly for better gear while skipping over a significant aspect of their chosen group, relying on members for your progression. So that was option number one.
Not Iron Man.
Why don't they just do like a swingers type thing?
So say you bring your own partner, you know, and then throw all of your swords in a bucket.
Okay. Option number two, 36%, still runs into the issue of boosting down the line. And option number three, that seems the most ideal, that says, however, adding a cap to group sizes could cause issues with bosses that require higher group sizes, such as raids, which is aimed at 10 players.
Why don't people just make accounts, just agree to only trade with their friends?
Well, you know, there are people who will give in to temptation.
Like, I also feel like this it just sort of defeats the point of an Iron Man account.
Yes.
Like, yes. The whole point is you're doing it yourself. Like, I don't know, that just feels...
And that's my whole underlying attitude about the group Iron Man as well, and why I won't ever do one.
Like, it just seems to defeat the point. I don't...
Yeah, totally agree. Then they move into what happens if a member leaves. If a group has progressed their accounts as a team, but one of them then decides, right, they've carried me this far, now I can make it on my own, and then decides to leave the group, they would expect to be just downgraded to a solo Iron Man account. But Jagex is not doing this. If someone leaves a group Iron Man, they will be downgraded to a normal account with no Iron Man restrictions. And the reason for this is because they don't want people to be carried in the normal Iron Man mode.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Also, if you abandon your friends, that's kind of a dick move.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so this one makes total sense. If a group member leaves, can we recruit a new one? They say it seems appropriate to allow the group to recruit a new member. The best way to do this would be allow groups to only recruit fresh group accounts from the recruitment room.
That seems fair to me.
Yeah, so you wouldn't be able to pick someone up with 99 Herblore and whatnot.
Yeah. Because then you could just, like, can people rejoin?
Well, no, because if they leave, they would be downgraded.
No, because they become a normal account. Oh, I see. Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Yeah, that part is thought out really well, I think. Now comes the behind-the-scenes aspect, which everyone wants to hear about with this and the engine changes and whatnot, and the back-end systems that would allow them to do this. What they are planning on doing is create a second hidden clan that they'll use to keep track of the group Iron Man players. And the other side of this is they'll be able to set a maximum size of this clan, you know, the size of the group Iron Man in particular with this one. So this does...
But can we change ranks and permissions?
My guess would be no, you probably wouldn't need to because it's severely limited.
It's a joke about the clan system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, there's some work potentially coming down the road on that.
Oh, praise God. It's only been, what, 10 years?
Yeah. Fingers crossed, though, it's a Mod Shawnee project, and it's being
developed. Is that good?
It's good, but it's being developed in spare time.
Oh, so it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Well, it could potentially happen.
Well,
we don't know.
He seems to get stuff done, you know. I mean.
Well, okay. I'm not familiar with any of the mods because I stepped away from the podcast side of it.
He seems like a happy fellow who gets things done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good for him.
Yeah. And they said, this does mean we need to give players a new way of chatting without giving you the ///// or /PIM chat commands. And yes, there are 5 slashes there that people were worried that they might need to access with this.
What is 4?
I didn't know what 4 was either.
Oh, maybe that's a typo on their part then, but...
Rip Ace of Spades.
Yeah. So.
Wolfie in the chat says, Shawnee is an ace of spades, Dev, recently joined RS.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's what they're looking at for that. Will group banking be available as of writing this? The answer is no, as this would push the ETA for the project well into 2019. Next up, will group Iron Man be able to trade on tradables with each other? This question has been thrown around a bit. Technically, right now, it can't be done, but that doesn't mean that they will not attempt to explore other routes or methods of doing so. And this is where you'll help. If there's a certain set of items you think you should be traded, tell us. And we have a question about this later.
What would they want to trade?
I don't know.
Should they get to do this? No. No.
Okay, well, we'll save that for the question later. There's going to be a discussion topic on the subject. How will you make a group? You create an account that will be eligible, a new account, select group Iron Man mode. Upon creating your character, you'll be selected to and sent to the group Iron Man Guild. From there, you'll be able to find yourself in the group creation room. You won't be able to leave this room until you've got your group sorted and ready to venture into the wider world as a team.
That's good.
And then finally, they'll be talking about the Iron Man Guild, and they'll be moving Mr. X and the Iron Man high scores to a themed location, a central place for all things Iron Man related. And yeah, there is no ETA at this point when this project would come into game. So there we are.
Well,
and you know, they did say that if they did go the full route of you know, group banking, it would push it well into 2019. So does that mean tail of 2018, early 2019 maybe? I'm not sure, but that's kind of what it sounds like, but don't read too much into that.
Well, my guess would be maybe after they rework the bank, if that's still going to be a thing.
Yeah, the bank
rework. I thought they already did a bank rework.
No,
there's an improvement, but not an actual thing.
Yeah.
We're still waiting on placeholders.
No, we'll have to wait and see. But all right. We're going to move on to the listener discussion questions right now. But first, just a brief reminder that if you want to catch up with us early in the week, you can do that on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB, where we post the weekly bite every Monday. And in that, we go through the brief rundown of the week's update, some of the pertinent patch notes of the week, and get you guys ready for the prime show of the week, RSBNB update. So that's youtube.com/RSBNB.
Nice plug, Shane.
Thank you. All right, you guys ready for questions?
Sure.
Yep.
All right, so the first one's an audio question from the RR Man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, so good. Man. Oh. Yeah, boy. Okay, all right, man. That's enough of that. We'll save that for another time. I've got a discussion topic to do. And this is coming from our sister show, RuneScape Weekly. Some might say this is a topic from another day, maybe? So basically, it was about this piece of software that you can overlay on top of RuneScape called Alt-1 Toolkit. I'm sure many of you have heard about it. Now, I don't use it, so I don't know all the features, but basically one of them is you can finish clue scrolls a bit faster by taking a screenshot of your puzzle box or Celtic, you're not, and then you can get it to sort of give you a solve, and basically just ends up a lot faster. I'm just wondering, do you consider this cheating, and should people be banned for it? Parnassus is quite hard on the side of it's cheating. I think it just speeds up the process. To be fair, I could probably do a sliding puzzle. It's just going to take me, well, realistically, it's probably going to take me 10, 20 times longer. So yes, from time to time, I have actually taken a screenshot and put it into the website. I'm not going to install a program. I don't care how safe people say it is. But yeah, the website, you can just take a screenshot, chuck it in, pretty much does the same thing. So I don't really like cheating in video games, but I don't count this as cheating. Be great to see what you think. Peace out. And damn, this is some good music. Oh, yeah, loving this stuff. You did well, Dave. You did well.
Oh, I knew it was only a matter of time before the discussion of third-party tools came to the shores of RSBNB update, and, you know, here we are. You know, it's actually a really timely topic here, because last week I actually just wrote an Informer article on the subject titled The Ongoing Crusade Against Third-Party Tools. You can, you know, read more about that at informer.rsbnb.com. But in that, I basically go through the game's history of third-party tools, you know, going back all the way to SwiftKit and whatnot, and talking about the current state of third-party tools and third-party clients, because old-school RuneScape actually has third-party game clients that are in widespread use for that game. And actually, in the month of May, we saw Jagex try and shut down one of them. So my whole stance on the issue is basically distilled down to the fact that Jagex's rule on macroing and third-party software is incredibly gray. And the idea behind this is that I'll just read the rule first here so we have a bit of a background of what the current rule is. And it's effectively software that can be used to gain an unfair advantage in our games, and they may not be used. This includes automation tools, macros, bots, autotypers, and tools that circumvent any of our mechanisms designed to automatically log out inactive users. So I went through, you know, a little bit about Alt 1 and the specific toolkit and how it works. And, you know, for me, two of the most insidious examples inside the Alt 1 toolkit are the Clue Solver and the AFK Warden. The Clue Solver is what our man mentioned. You can effectively have it watch a part of your screen, or as he said, pop a copy of your clue scroll into the website, and it'll tell you what to do, whether it's a puzzle box or a Celtic knot or a new towers puzzle. But they also have something called the AFK Warden that notifies you when you need to click in-game to prevent yourself from being logged out. It presumably doesn't interact with the game client and whatnot. They also have the XP meter and drop logger, and those were added into the Rune Metrics feature, which you can purchase in-game for bonds. So Jagex did take that cue and monetize that side of it, and now provides that in-game. And, you know, when it comes down to it at the end of the day, I don't think having third-party tools in general be allowed to be used in-game is a good thing. And I think, based on what I know, Jagex is going to be powerless to stop this, because I think ever since Windows Vista, it's impossible for a piece of software running on a computer to know what else is running unless it's running with administrator privileges. So even if Jagex wanted to, it would be kind of hard to see if Alt 1 was running and determine what might be going on with that. Now, I think the Clue Solver is an absolute what's the word I'm looking for here, guys?
Unnecessary?
Absolutely unnecessary.
Okay.
Ruins the game's economy. Because you can purchase Clue Scroll solving tickets on the exchange.
Who the can't solve a 5-slide puzzle?
Me.
What? You just do the first 3, and then you take the one that goes in the 4 slot, put it in the 5 slot, and then you move the 4 one right under it, and then you just shift it into place.
Yeah, I don't do clues anyway.
I can kind of understand the Celtic knot thing, because those are a pain to do, but it's not rocket science.
Is this any different, though, than the little... I mean, does anyone not remember the Konami code from way back when you're growing up?
Like, oh, yeah.
Well, like, you know what I mean? So, like, how is this any different?
Because this is giving... Because anyone with fingers can put that in. But, like, some people don't want to install this toolkit. Like, I would
you
never
do
that.
You can use it on the website.
Trust it. You can use it on the website. Well, like... Okay. You can go through the effort of taking a picture and uploading it, or just, like, try to figure it out yourself. I feel like it would take...
But where's the, like, competitive side of this game that actually means anything whatsoever to anyone other than yourself? Like...
Yeah, well, we tried to go that way with... rotating high score system known as Prestige, but people whined about it.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, this, at the end of the day, it's your game. It's how you're playing it. If Shane goes out and goes and does 10 clues and uses Alt 1, I don't give a shit. Like, it makes no difference in my gameplay whatsoever.
Right, but we should care, because the more people that use Alt-1, the fewer purchasers there are of the knot skips, the emote skips, the puzzle box skips, the tower skips on the exchange.
I think what makes a difference here, that's my main issue. I mod and create mods for, like, Fallout and Skyrim extensively, like, but that is a game that is for me, only me. I'm not getting an advantage over any other players because there are no other ones. I mean, well, your point is valid, like, it's for you, and, like, you using that doesn't tangibly affect me. Like, I get that. So,
I mean,
I think it's not worth the risk to me personally.
And see, that's how Alt-1 markets it. Right. They market it as, oh, you don't need to install anything. This is just going to run on your system. It uses a Chrome wrapper because it's effectively a web app, and it's going to look out. It's going to effectively take a screenshot of your screen for you and use that. That's how they market it as being safe.
Right.
But so, you can never know with third-party tools.
How similar is this to... Wasn't SwiftKit, like, basically an alternate launcher?
Yeah, except it actually loaded the RS client. This doesn't load the RS client at all.
I don't know, like... So this is just, like, something that runs in the background?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what all does it do other than solve clues? It does an idle...
It looks at what? Your, looks at
It'll
your screen.
It'll beep every 4.5 minutes.
Yeah,
or
tell
whatever,
you when you need to click. It's got a drop logger, though. That's been kind of abstracted away.
Like,
it used to manage dungeoneering keys, but that's been put into game. XP meter.
I mean,
that's been updated.
If it gives Jagex incentive to add these features into the game, sure, that's great. I remember RSBNB was going to write a drop logger years ago. It never panned out. That was actually what got me onto the content editors. So I got my foot in the door that way. near I am now. But
like, my issue is the economy here, first and foremost. Right now, costume skipping ticket. Well, that one's not for Alt-1, but just for sake of argument here, that's 153K exchange. Not skipping ticket, this is what Alt-1 does. That's going for 64K right now.
Right, but there's a bigger, in my opinion, there's a bigger question than that, than just the economy and all that. What if, okay, so it's easy to pick on Alt-1, right? Because we know some of the stuff it does, it might affect the economy, whatever. But what if someone was just writing a program that made the damn game more accessible? Like, I've been using some add-ons on ESO because it cleans up the interface and I can see it better. Like, it doesn't give me an advantage, but I can actually see my game better.
And ESO, so, like, is Elder Scrolls Online, I assume?
Yeah. That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, what happens when it's like that?
That's different, though. And I know Shane here, I don't know if he's going to be mad at me for mentioning this, but in the game World of Tanks, Shane is very anti, like, mod in any game. But in the game World of Tanks, he uses one that changes, like, the user interface.
It doesn't change the user interface. It just shows some stats.
Okay, well, it gives you the information that's hidden behind that. And Magic King in the chat brings up a good point. The difference is Bethesda allows players to mod their games. Like, what is Jagex's stance on this?
Mm-hmm. It's effectively that third-party software rule. And, you know, it's incredibly gray, as I said. Because it just says software that can be used to gain an unfair advantage in our games may not be used.
Have they made a statement about it specifically, though, or
about
maybe
Alt-1?
Not by name?
Not about Alt-1, but they did go after a number of third-party old-school RS clients. Actually, just one of them. It remains to be seen if they'll go after the other one. Basically, what was happening in that case is this client called RuneLite was open-sourced, and it was open-sourced the entire way, so much so that the RuneScape Deobfuscator was also open-sourced, which, for anyone wondering what that basically means that when you play RuneScape, you download a blob of data, and the client has to unpack it. So this was also open-sourced, and with that being open-sourced, that's an invite for malicious actors to come in and, you know, write bots and whatnot.
Mm.
So they did that with Old School, but that was an actual client that changed the way the game ran and, you know, really doing some great things. So there's that. But they haven't said anything about Alt-1 in particular. And, you know, as much as I would like them to prevent Alt-1 from being used, I don't think they can.
Wolfie in the chat says that Jagex has allowed the use of Alt-1 by official comment on Reddit. I've asked him to send us a link to that because that would pretty definitively clear up this issue, at least from Jagex's end.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if that
I've personally avoided that place for a variety of reasons.
Oh, me too. Me too. And I mean, if that's the case they have, then okay, that's where we're at. That doesn't change my opinion on it. Because as I said, a not skipping ticket is going for $64K, a lockbox ticket $18K, puzzle skipping ticket $459, and a tower skipping ticket $48K. And you get all these from doing higher level clues. And
well,
I personally think if Alt-1 wasn't a thing, you would see these being, you know, two times higher maybe.
So is it just bad that it's a third party software? What if it's a friend helping you? What if it's a clanmate? What if you turn your screen share on Discord or whatever?
Well, that's fine. But you can't do that on Mac.
But
the
that's
problem
fine?
Is that Alt-1 does it, you know, like that.
I'm just curious as to how it works. It's less because so Wolfie posted a screenshot. It's from Mod Infinity. He found the link.
Oh, bless his heart. He's not with Jagex anymore.
Yeah, we have a history with Mod Infinity. He said that it's fine to use, but as with all third party software, you need to be careful. That's pretty much my opinion here. If you really want to use it, then you go ahead, but don't get mad if it steals your password.
Yeah, and you know, that's a general sentiment whenever you install anything third party related too.
Like that is my opinion on the subject, to be very concise with it.
Yeah. I don't know. It just goes back to the clue scrolls. And I mean, if you're having someone over and they want to help you with a clue scroll, that's fine. Because they're not going to help you for, you know, however many people Alt-1 services on a given day.
So it's not really the principle of it, then. It's the amount.
I still think it's more third-party software. Shane and I disagree on this and have for years.
Yeah, I like the Apple.
I don't know, I just think they make games better sometimes. Like sometimes people can make it better. The devs don't have the time or the money or the want to, and people can like fix something that is just broken. And why wait around for them to do it when someone else can like put it together for you and do it?
My bare bones mod list for Fallout New Vegas has like 60 or 70 entries in it. Like, without those, I can't play it. Okay, maybe it's not bare bones, like, in the strictest sense, because, you know, I still want to save Christmas from, like, literal Nazis. But, you know, like, I consider that an essential part of my gameplay, so... Anyway,
and plus we need to remember that you're downloading RuneScape and it's something that is online, so it's a little bit different in terms of modifying.
That's true. I don't have like a Fallout New Vegas account. No one can like hack into it and steal things from it. It's just on my computer.
Yeah. I just want to be clear also, I'm not for banning people who are using Alt-1. I just wish that there was a better way of doing those things in game if they're to be there. And hey, I mean, we see what we have with Rune Metrics Pro and how that's worth bonds. Maybe these I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Never mind.
Oh yeah, you were. That's going to be on Treasure Hunter next week, Shane. Good job.
Yeah, you know what I was going to say. Microtransaction based, not skipping tickets you can buy with Rune Coins.
Uh huh. You're welcome, community. You're welcome.
Hey,
thanks, Shane. You can.
You're lucky you weren't here last year. I gave them a really, really insidious way of making money if they wanted to.
And what was that?
Oh, I'm not going to repeat that.
Crafting arrows.
Now you have to.
No.
That's pretty insidious.
No. We're going to move on from that.
Okay.
No, I don't want to say
it. Why do you do this?
No. All right. I guess we can just say everyone summarize your thoughts. For me, I personally don't like the idea of Alt 1. I'd like to see a way to prevent it from being used, but I don't think there's any way Jagex can do that. You can read more about the subject at informer.rsbnb.com. Look for the ongoing crusade against third-party tools, and I just want my not-skipping tickets and tower-skipping tickets to be worth more. That's my attitude behind it.
Yeah.
Be careful. Like, if you want to use that, if it makes your life better and you feel safe with it,
yeah,
good for you. But if it gets stolen, don't come crying to me.
It's just such a letdown.
That is my opinion.
Doing one of these, you know, master clue scrolls that came out at the end of February and seeing tower skipping ticket, 48K.
Well,
yeah, I mean, for me personally, like, I like solving those and it gives me.
Oh, yeah, the tower puzzles are fun.
I mean, I don't think I've ever done one of those, but, like, I love puzzles. I get that they're not for everyone. Some people, it must just be absolutely grating to do.
Yeah, I hate puzzles. I mean, the people that I know that do clues, just like, they'd like it for the gambling aspect of it. Like, ooh, they might get something, like, really, really good. Like, nobody likes to do the puzzle,
really?
The knots and this.
Really?
Yeah, no, Shane, no, you're different, man. You gotta understand. Like, you quest for fun, man. You're different.
I wouldn't do the Celtic knots every day, but, like, if I'm doing a clue and one of those come up, which is, like, you know, twice a year, I'm like, oh, okay, I haven't done one of these a lot. Like, if I did it every day, I'm sure my attitude would be different.
You know, if I have to sum it up, I'm going to agree with Earth here and say, yeah, be careful. Make sure you use Authenticator, and then you probably won't have that problem. If you're going to need two-factor, you know, authentication.
Yeah, that is another thing, and I'm going to pull a Shane here and plug something. If you don't already have two-factor authentication on your account, you should change that. And Shane, would you like to add a link in the notes to two-factor authentication setup?
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay, there will be a link in the notes.
I think
for
we even have a YouTube video at some point that does
oh,
that.
Oh,
yeah,
Shane
you
even
on,
has a YouTube video.
So
you can
use
listen
it on Windows,
to more of his lovely voice.
Yeah, I'll throw something in there about two-factor.
Yeah. Other than that,
plug, Earth.
Yeah. Way to go. Like riding a bike, right, man?
That's right.
Riding a bike, hell yeah. But, if it's not a competitive game, like if we're not talking CSGO or Overwatch or something like that, I don't have a problem with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's on you. But that's my own personal feeling, you know.
All right.
But I'm not going to feel cheated if you use it and I don't.
Yeah, I'm not personally offended or anything. I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
No, I stopped being offended about people in this game a long time ago.
Did you?
You went to the portable world, didn't you?
No.
That did you in, right?
No.
Oh, it did me in. I lost faith in humanity at that point.
All right. Our next question is from Chris, otherwise known as I'm Rubik, and he says, what untradeable items should group Iron Men be able to trade among each other?
None.
Nothing.
Like, what, nothing. What would they need? What is untradeable now?
Well,
you would want to trade.
The two big ones would be charms and overloads.
Yeah.
Like, I think those would be the two big ones.
And I was actually going to say overloads would be on my list. We're going to disagree on this.
I guess maybe overloads. I can see that. I can see that.
Because that's 96
the charms, like, that's not a big... Yeah, like, I mean, if you have someone in your group who's
the farmer.
The potion maker.
That's
me. If you have someone in your group like that, I can see that. Okay, that's reasonable. Because the group of people have all agreed, and I guess each person would perform a specific role then. Like, you have one person do that, and they can supply the combat people with that. I don't see why charms should be tradable, though, because it's not like a skiller is going to be doing summoning, right?
Like, I don't know. I mean, you may need them for either. Yeah.
Like, is there anything else you can do with charms other than summoning?
No.
Oh no, no.
No.
Then, like, I don't see why. I mean, you could already trade the pouches. So, like, if the pouches were untradeable too, then that would be different.
Oh, that's a good point. You can trade the pouches. So I didn't even think of that. I mean, look, I'm against trading anything untradeable, period. But if you have to do it, I would probably also include Port's armor as well.
Yep, that was going to be my second big one, Port's armor.
Yeah.
Because you need 90s in there, you need lots of gathering. That can take
because someone might not have 90, what is it, runecrafting or crafting?
Or smithing. Yeah.
Or smithing. Some of the armors. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think... Well, I mean, I guess you can't have that part unlocked. I think... Why not use the assist system, though? Well,
that's true. Why not use the assist?
I think that would be a...
The problem is, though, the assist system is limited to 30k a day in benefits.
Well, I mean, not...
What if it wasn't benefits? It just allowed you to be able to do it.
Yeah, because aren't there some things that people can use the assist system for, but it doesn't give XP?
I think so. I can't tell you what, though.
And I think once you're at 30k, like, you can continue to help people. You just don't get the benefits for it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's an interesting idea. If you could use the assist system for ports instead of needing to just make the ports armor untradeable. Though I guess the logic behind that is that if you had tradable ports armor, you could just pass it around.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing about that is getting the actual supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I remember correctly, the ports were designed so that, like, when you got 90 smithing, someone appeared who was able to help you get, like, you did their quest and you're able to get the whatever the component was for the 90 smithing armor. Yeah.
Yeah. And you may see them.
Yeah. You had to do it
today. You may see them. You never know when they're going to pop in. You don't know if you're going to succeed. Like, it does take a long time.
So I'm not really sure what could be done to make that fair? Like, maybe... I don't know.
What other items are untradeable in relation to skilling that are an issue?
I mean, like, there are a couple of summoning things.
Yeah, and there's some niche items that I can't even...
But, like, nothing...
Like, I can think quest items, like keys and whatnot, but you would probably need to have the quest done to access the area to begin with.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the assist system is the answer then, because I was actually thinking coming into this ports items and overload potions, but if we can just use the assist system for those, why not, right?
Yeah,
well, exactly.
I mean, taking a step back, I think that it doesn't make sense for overloads. I guess you could have the ability to, but, like, if you're going to have someone who's a dedicated skiller, Like, I mean, you would give them all of the ingredients and then they would make it? Like, I don't know. I think the assist system may be something to look into more as an alternative to trading. Like, open it up more.
Yeah, I'm just having a look on the wiki right now for untradeable items. And, you know, if you ended up getting to the point where you were running with Acto armor, those are untradeable.
Uh-huh.
Acto armor from raids.
Ah.
I mean, that could be what people want as well. And, you know, from the sounds of it and from the way things are shaping up, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a push by the combat folks to get things untradeable and swap them between people. Because it makes sense when you think about it that way, right? Because everything we've been thinking about, oh, you can just use the assist system for.
Oh, Magic King in the chat says you'd have to be able to trade untradeables for the skiller to make overloads. Is that because... Oh, you make it from, like, the extreme potions.
Yeah, but
you
can still...
Untradeable, right? I mean,
yeah,
you could give them the components for that. Yeah?
Yeah, or you could just trade the herbs. So... I mean, there are options available to it. And just looking through the list here, most of the things on the first couple pages are indeed combat-related. So we could be circling back to that infinite debate that we always have here on the podcast about this.
Yeah.
Because if you're thinking combat items, then that makes sense. Like, for example... augmented god swords, for example. If you had an augmented god sword you were passing around, you could do that. Now, it wouldn't make sense if you were, you know, trading around quest items like the Ava's Alerter or the Ava's device for the range slot. It wouldn't make sense to trade around a quest item. So I think those are out of the realm of possibility with all things being said.
I agree.
Baron Sharks? From
how
I don't know.
Deep sea fishing, or from
how much of a game changer are those?
Minor,
minor. Well, although they are, that is a good source of food for Iron Man.
Yeah, because you just do
like
it well
for Iron Man,
fishing
that's a huge
at the waterfall.
Thing. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's free food for them.
I guess.
And at the end of the day, it comes down to a question: what is an Iron Man? Because it would end up being as though that would almost be like a special perk just for group Iron Man characters, right?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Oh, I want Ecto. You know? I'd love to have that armor.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, all 12 people that are going to do group Iron Man, have fun. The world's your oyster and enjoy trading all the stuff that we can't.
Hey, you could be part of it, and you can go get another elven sniper suit and change that around.
Oh, I could. I've been collecting my pieces, you know, here and there.
Oh, that was
untradeable.
That was That's a long true. Time that it took for you to gather those.
Yeah. Yeah, a little part of me still on... Where was it, Tallydad?
Yep.
Tallydad, yeah.
Other things I'm seeing on the untradeable items list are lamps from quests. Which, you know, once again, don't seem right.
That doesn't seem right.
Here, take my experience. No.
Yeah, that's not really
And,
okay.
You know, this was all presented by that question in the thread. What would you like to see potentially tradable? And keep in mind, all these items are untradeable for normal players. So that sounds more like a perk to convince people to do group Iron Man than to improve the experience of the group Iron Man system.
That's what it sounds like to me.
For some things. I mean, again, going back to the overloads example, I can see that being an exception and not a rule there.
Yeah.
But, like, for... I would even be hesitant for Port's armor.
Yeah, I mean, if you can use the assist system, why not? And plus...
Can you use the assist system to make those? I don't you
probably
think you
not
can
because you can't bring someone else into
in
your port.
Ports.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's that. But for someone in your group who does have the levels, they could just make the untradeable armor or the tradable armor that degrades. That's another option.
I guess.
Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe it's because we're not in the right mindset to this, but it just doesn't seem like there's much outside of combat gear that isn't already tradable that would be passable between the groups, unless they take the drastic step of making it that you can't trade with your partners. But that would go against the idea of group Iron Man, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense.
What would be the point of doing one in that case?
Yeah, there wouldn't be, because you can already fight bosses as teams. Like, it wouldn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. All right, well, I think we answered that one to a T. So thank you, Rubik, or Chris. I'm Rubik, for that question. Nice to hear from you on the podcast. Alrighty, if you guys want to send in your own questions, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. You can also call or text 571-57BNB, which is 571-572-2632, or you can leave us a DM or a mention on Twitter @rsbnb, just like I'm Rubik did. Alright, you guys ready for some tech news?
Yes.
Alright.
Sure.
So Instagram is stepping into the battle of competing against YouTube. Today they announced that they are going to be launching a new service called IGTV, and it's designed to compete head-on with YouTube. And basically what this means is they will begin allowing users to upload videos up to 1 hour in length, up from the previous 1 minute limit. And in addition to bring these new longer form videos from content creators to the Instagram platform, they're launching what they're going to be calling IGTV, which is effectively going to be the aggregator for Instagram and their video projects. So keep in mind with this that Instagram is owned by Facebook. And you know, Instagram, it already seems like, is competing with Snapchat as their main competitor. So I'm wondering, what kind of videos do you guys think you would see on IGTV?
I'm reasonably certain you can't upload from a computer.
Okay. You mean on Instagram
My question
currently.
Is, huh?
On Instagram currently.
Correct.
Yeah. So you would be able to presumably do that.
Who the hell's gonna upload an hour-long video from their phone?
Right. So
who the hell's gonna watch an hour-long video on their phone?
Yeah. So,
on Instagram.
So you would want definitely something.
Not me.
Focused around content creators.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and one of the key points they're highlighting is they're bringing it down to everyone, not just, you know, big name celebrities who normally get access to these features first. They say from the article here, people will be able to upload vertical videos through Instagram's app or the web, except
vertical videos.
Uh-huh. Everyone.
I'm out.
Except smaller and new accounts will be able to upload hour-long videos immediately, with that option expanding to everyone eventually. The IGTV app will be available on iOS and Android today, as well as in the Instagram app through a TV-shaped button above the Stories section.
Vertical videos, that is a sin, and I'm out.
Yeah, and you know that's a problem. I was watching the news here the other day, and you know we ended up in a situation where they're running a contest, you know, to showcase videos from around the summer here in the city, and they had to tell everyone, when you're taking one of these videos for us, hold your camera horizontal, please.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Like vertical.
I'm slow here. I couldn't. I was like, huh. You know, anything.
Shane
that
and I are a little anal about these things, if you hadn't noticed.
Well, you know, that's fine. You probably have that on Instagram as well. This whole time. anything that competes with YouTube is probably good, but I don't know. I mean,
oh, there's going to also be no ads starting out with it.
Well, and one, I'm wondering, okay, so how are the creators going to be paid? And two, if it was anyone other than Facebook, I'd probably be all for it. But, nah. I mean, that's what we get. We get Google and Facebook get to, you know, go head-to-head. Like, that's it.
And there's a photo that's all and we got. In this video here. There's a dog dressed up in a sweater.
That ain't right.
Right? Well, that's going to be 90%, and the other 10 are, well, no.
Would you ever dress Stella or George up in a sweater?
No.
My daughter dresses ours in dresses sometimes.
How old is your daughter?
5.
Like, yeah, like that's that's completely different. Like she's 5.
Yeah, we've got a Biggle named Princess. She's the Wriggle Biggle. It's the dresses.
I love Beagles.
Yeah, you know, Tanis, after you showed me that video about beagles last time, I had lots of suggestions on YouTube for beagle videos.
You could be in worse situations, Shane. Beagles are awesome. See, look, I'm keeping the amount of editing you have to do low and, like, right next to each other.
Yeah, they're pertinent, so too.
You can find it really easily.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. And, you know, Instagram is expected to earn $5.48 billion U.S. this year in ad revenue.
What?
And a portion of this, of course, will go to Facebook shareholders. I think it's safe to say what Instagram/Facebook is doing here. They're looking for another source of ad revenue that is not Facebook. Because we all know Facebook is on the decline.
I mean, they only have, what, 800 million active users a month? Only?
Yeah, but 200 million of those are your grandparents that forgot their password and had to make a new account.
That's still lucrative ad money, though.
Right. Yeah, no. Instagram, you know what that's going to be. It's going to be like all these like half-cute chicks that think they're really cute and want to be models.
Thoughts.
That's why they're Instagram models.
Thoughts.
Uh-huh. Well, whatever you call them, that's what's going to be populating this. When I mean, they're really like a 7, but like at, you know, 2 in the morning, they're more like a 9, that kind of
thing. And on that note, I think it's time to move on to our next piece of tech news. So we've been talking about loot boxes and gambling in video games for quite some time here on the podcast and tech news. And First Blood has been drawn in this battle here. The Netherlands has issued a threat against Steam and has effectively forced Valve to pull loot boxes from Counter-Strike Global Offensive and Dota 2 for their item trading systems in the game. So basically, Valve had to respond to this threat because otherwise the Dutch government was going to prosecute video game companies who didn't alter their game's gambling components by June 20th. So we heard about this back in April and that something like this might be coming out of the EU. Well, here we are. And I don't think you get anything bigger than looking at games such as Dota 2 or Counter-Strike Global Offensive on Steam.
All that's going to happen is there are going to be either regions without the games or different
items in the game for those regions.
Or different versions of the game is what I was going to say. But yeah, pretty much same thing.
We're back to that whole case of having Windows XP N or whatever it was called back then.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was a special version of Windows XP they made for the European Union.
Oh, okay. I mean, even if just the EU picks it up, like the United States and Canada, and well, I mean, Australia, there'll be an EU version, and there'll be an everyone else version. Like, if the United States, Canada,
UK, Australia,
EU. Well, I guess
not
UK is leaving the EU, but like, unless all of the countries go at this together, like, all that's going to happen is there are going to be different versions of the games.
That's true. And, so I mean, you're going to log in, you're going to see something different.
Yeah, something has to change from... I'm not sure how effective any legislation is going to be because it's not going to be uniform globally. And, I mean, this is a global market. Steam isn't just selling in the EU. They're not just selling in the US. Not just in Canada, right? Like,
yeah. And, you know, there's also concerns that it could... the gaming authority in the Netherlands could be focusing in on other games as well, including FIFA 18, Rocket League, and PUBG for failing to comply with this Dutch law.
Can you buy loot boxes in Rocket League?
Yeah, for cosmetics and the like.
Like with dollary dues?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. I must have added that since I'd stopped playing that. Magic King in the chat says you even have to pay for the keys. So, interesting. Tyler brings up a good point here. Large companies can...
they can shoulder that.
They're able to make lots of different games, but a small developer might not be able to. But, on the other hand, I'm not sure how many small developers have microtransactions in their games. Is that a common thing? Or is that just... like that literally seems to be from AAA studios, for the most part to me. And mobile games. Wolfie just made that point in the chat, too. Mobile games do, but...
anything that slows it down, I'm in favor of.
I guess it will slow it down, but I think there's got to be a cultural change where, because nobody likes it, but there are a few people who will spend literally tens of thousands of dollars on this.
Yeah, but
I did a project in one of my business courses last year about EA, and a stupid percent, like upwards of like 20-30% of their total revenue for EA as a whole comes from FIFA.
Yep.
Not just the sales of FIFA. From the microtransactions, too.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And they're the worst of the worst.
This is EA. Like, I'm pretty
EA's
sure
the worst.
They are the biggest, video game production company, yes?
Well, they're the worst microtransactions, I'll tell you that.
I mean, the only ones that come... no, they are. I remember, the only ones that come close are Blizzard, Activision. And even then, it's not close. And 30 or 40% of their entire revenue comes from one game.
Yep. Now that actually might have an effect if the whole EU did it, because
because the communists over
North
there
American
like soccer.
Yeah, I mean, it really wouldn't matter much here.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, if they have games like PUBG and Rocket League in their sights as well, those are also big. And I guess the question will be, what happens if they try and go for someone smaller? Though I think we all had trouble here remembering a small game that actually has microtransactions to this level.
Other than mobile games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will be what they target next.
Oh, boy.
Well, good. You should actually have to make a game. I don't know. I don't really feel too bad for him.
All right, moving on to our last piece of tech news. This one is a little bit interesting for anyone who remembers the old days of web browser battles between Chrome, Firefox, and maybe something else. But There is also another browser that's still kind of floating around the internet called Brave. And basically what Brave is doing now is Brave will start testing its own ads in the browser and replacing everyone else's ads and then transferring some of that revenue to the website owners. So basically what Brave does is they block these conventional ads and remove the privacy trackers, and they use their own technology with this. So basically, if you download the Brave web browser right now, you get about 250 prepackaged ads and a form of cryptocurrency that you can use to opt in to these systems to test the new ads that you'll be seeing. So the idea behind this is that when you go to a website that is enrolled in this system, you will see ads that are indeed related to that content, but they're not going to track you. They're going to be tailored in particular, and they're going to be paid for by the people who invest in this Brave crypto token system, which is loosely based off of the Bitcoin blockchain protocol.
Hold up. So they're not going to track you, but the ads are tailored to you?
Oh, yeah, they're tailored to the website. I don't buy it. They're tailored to the website. They're tailored to the websites in particular. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And there's also apparently a chance where you can get paid for viewing these ads.
Oh,
if
boy.
You
and
you
some kind
are
of currency that you
ad,
can't use, right?
You get paid with this crypto token. And the idea is that if this, you know, browser takes off and this alternative ad model takes off, you'd later be able to sell off these crypto tokens for real money. But as of right now, they have no value.
Well, yeah, and if a frog had wings, it wouldn't bump its ass on lily pads, now would it, Shane?
Yeah,
so,
and Magic King's
I don't see this happening.
Is this a coin miner? No, it's not a coin miner. Those are going to be distributed. It's not using your system to mine coins here. So you're either going to pay money to have to opt into this system where you're going to get these clean ads that are tailored by Brave, and then you'll presumably also get a little bit extra out of it as well.
I don't know. Getting people away from Chrome, I just don't see that happening. I don't see it happening.
Well, their idea is that they can sell it based on the privacy features of the software.
So Can I give a little background about Brave?
Please.
So Brave is a fork of Firefox, correct?
Yeah, except they're using WebKit.
Okay, so back a few years ago, the CEO of Mozilla, who makes Firefox, they fired him because
Brandon
of
Ike.
Some political differences. But that's not the point now. Moving on. He split off. He formed his own company. And he released this browser called Brave, which, like Shane said, it privacy is at its heart. It blocks ads and all of that. I've seen it as a pretty good alternative. I mean, it's forked directly from Firefox, so still a reputable browser, right?
Yeah.
So that is where Brave came from. I just wanted to make sure that the listeners knew what exactly Brave was. It wasn't just some rando
and
web browser.
You know, before we began here, I actually opened the browser up, and I did indeed get 250 free Brave coins or whatever they're calling them. So I can take part in this trial if I want to.
Interesting.
I don't know if I will, but it's definitely an option that's out there. Like if we look here at Brave, and you go into the preferences, and they actually have this split up into, let's see, where is it? The Shield section? The Payments section. So it's called Brave Payments, and the idea is that, yeah, right? You start off with these coins, and you know each month you would pay a bit to them, and currently 15 Brave tokens is worth $3.71 U.S.
See, this is one of those things that
only
work. if lots of people do it. And I can go ahead and tell you, this is really neat, but I doubt a lot of people are going to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because so many people are entrenched in
Chrome or Firefox.
Web browsers. Like, I used to use Chrome, and then, what would you say, probably a year, maybe two ago, I moved away from as many Google services as I can, as I could. Like, I self-host my email now, all of that. And
you
I
have a personal
to,
server?
Uh-huh.
You have
yeah,
a personal
the
email
RSVNB
server?
RSVNB group of game servers.
Uh-oh. That sounds like trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, watch out for Russians.
You know me. I get the joke. So, what was the thing? Oh, yeah. It was no small effort to move from Chrome to Firefox. But, like, you can do it. But I'm also, like, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, and for, like, I mean, I work in tech. Like, the people, normal people, for them, moving browsers is just inconceivable. Why would I change? This is what I've always used.
Yep. I'm going to start using Safari when the next version of macOS comes out.
Good for you.
Yeah. They're called basic action
bitches?
Tokens. Basic action tokens. That's what they're calling their bats. They're based on Ethereum. And basically, they want it to be, like you said.
What is Ethereum?
It's an offshoot from Bitcoin.
It's a theory.
And, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, as you said there, many people are going to need to step in and pay for this to actually have it work at the end of the day. And, you know, I don't think Brave or anyone at this point is in a position where they can, you know, challenge Google or Firefox for these browsers spots.
No. Like the I'm unconvinced that anything will happen with this. Like, again, it's super neat and I'd love if something happened.
Yeah. Like right
but
now,
it's not gonna.
I just went to a major Canadian news website, globalnews.ca, and it's set to only show Brave ads. And in just going to that website, 15 ads and trackers were blocked.
Yeah,
and Brave does that out of the box.
That is pretty nice. I mean, I still prefer to block mine. So, I really don't like ads. So I have something set up on my router that whenever it receives a request to go to like a website that's ads, like doubleclick.net is Google's, it will instead redirect it to the computer's address. Like, so it doesn't load. Nothing loads.
Yeah,
it doesn't even go
and
out
see,
there.
That's basically
and I have that set up on my
block.
Phone and my computer. Like, I have that set up on every device I have. And then, I mean, I still run uBlock Origin on my browser in case anything gets through. But that is rare.
Yeah, so that's one way of doing it. And, you know, you can see with that why there's the need
That's obviously not for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why Apple
is much
taking...
much more user-friendly.
Is taking the stance they're taking in the next version of macOS and making all the web browsers, Safari's communications, you know, let you know if they're doing that kind of thing. So,
I don't explain.
Well, if there's a like button on a page, the next version of Safari will prevent it from communicating with Facebook unless you give it official permission that you want Facebook
it's
buttons
like
to communicate.
Disconnect.me.
Yeah, pretty much, except built right into Safari.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. Well, that's it for tech news this week. We're going to move on to some other things right now. So I think this has been under wraps for long enough here at RSVNB Update.
Some secret?
We started off the month. Yes, I do. We started off the month with the Patreon account. Mm-hmm. We revealed Dave's new theme music last week. And this week I can bring you guys an announcement that is going to be a part of our SBMB update this October. It's going to involve a good number of people.
Do I know about this?
Yes, you do know about this.
Okay, I know about this.
And I can say that what we are doing with this is that in October, I am pleased to announce that I will be attending RuneFest this year.
Yay!
So those of you guys who heard it here first, you can relay that to the appropriate people. If you're listening to this podcast and you're wondering what that might be, we're going to definitely plan to do something podcast-related in relation to that while we're there. So that's going to be planned this summer. But now is the time where we can reveal that. So yes, there's the news. I am going to RuneFest. You guys can disseminate that as you see fit. You can expect to hear more about that in the coming months. But with that being said, let's move on to our Skill of the Month update for June and our Crafting Skill of the Month. And we have a flatline. Sorensen 57 in first place with 7.3 million XP gained. Parnassius in second with 2.3. And Tanis, you're still in third with 432K.
Yay. My humble 420K.
Yeah, well, that was done with harps, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So that's not too bad.
Yeah.
So there's our Skill of the Month update. Moving on from that, I'd also like to remind everyone of the RSVNB Patreon account. Currently, we have seen a number of subscribers this week, but in case you're wondering what you get out of this, we offer three tiers of support. For $1 a month, you'll receive a special mention in our show notes, and you help RSBNB fund the costs for hosting and the production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you'll get a special badge in Discord and a mention on the podcast, as well as early access to our show notes. And for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out every week on the podcast and exclusive access to outtakes that we use for the clip show. So with that being said, I would like to take a moment here to thank our Patreon subscribers, and those this week are Adam T, Roy W, and Cody T. Thank you, the three of you guys, for your support on Patreon. It means the world to us to keep doing what
we do. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
And if we reach our $30 a tier, we will activate the cameras and do video shows with our shining faces. And with that being said, we have actually reached our $15 a tier where we'll be recording our monthly bite, or that's a topic for another show episode. And we're aiming to do that in early July. We're getting the topics together and whatnot. So we have reached that tier. So thank you to those of you who have subscribed so far, and you can look forward to that in the coming weeks.
Yeah, huge thanks, and we're only $15 away from Shane bench pressing live on camera, showing off those muscles.
I don't know.
Are you going to make me be on that show, Shane?
I mean, you could if you want. I don't know if we'll get to that point, but I mean, if we do, if people want to see all of us.
Well, if you want to see me, and more importantly, my adorable puppy Stella, you can donate to us and help us reach our goal at
Patreon.com/RSBNB, and our goal is for $30. We're currently at $18, so if we reach that mark, the video shows will start happening. So keep that in mind, everyone.
That's just $12 dues.
Yep,
just think of it. If four of you donate $3, that's one of the tiers, right, Shane?
Yeah, it might be a little bit, might be five based on Patreon fees, but it'll be relatively close after.
Well, it'll be close.
Yeah, so keep that in mind, everyone. Patreon.com/RSBNB. All right, so moving on to the achievements of the week right now. Let's start us off there.
Wolfotopia got 99 divination on June 18th, 2018. CinaATN got 99 cooking on June 18th, 2018. Seabreeze24 got 99 construction on June 18th, 2018. And Vagon Bray got 99 Slayer on June 17th, 2018.
Nicely done, everyone.
Yeah, very
Thank
nice.
You.
We also have Zookeeper 50 3 with 99 crafting on June 17th. Seabreeze 24 with 99 invention on June 17th. Seabreeze 24 again with 99 fire making on June 15th. Boy, they were busy. Let's see. And Varagian Bard with 99 wood cutting on the 15th. Yeah, that was rough.
Nicely done, everyone. Nicely done. And rounding it off, we have Gunship with 99 range on the 15th, Robbie with 120 Hunter on the 14th, and continuing on the 14th, Cena ATN once again with 99 Divination. So good job, everyone.
Woo!
All right, so what do we got for Pick of the Week? I believe Earth wants to do a Pick of the Week.
Shit. Have I done Sins of a Solar Empire yet?
Nope.
Okay, well, I'm doing Sins of a Solar Empire. This is a...
I'd call it an RTS, right?
Yeah, it's a real-time strategy game. But it's not like... it's not as fast-paced as StarCraft. It's... how similar would you say that it is to Star Trek Armada, Shane? Even without the mod?
It's... relatively similar, but more in depth in terms of tech tree and unit.
Yeah, I would call it slow Civ in space, fast Civ in space. I guess like it's about the same pacing as Civ, but it's real time instead of turn based. And that is what I've been playing a lot of for the past couple of days. And I've actually been using a mod. It is one of the most acclaimed mods, won awards and stuff. It's Star Trek Armada 3, because there was, of course, the Star Trek Armada 1 and 2, and then they never made a third. And this game is similar enough that some people put in a lot of work and made a mod that turned it into Star Trek Armada 3. It's pretty good. The final release of that mod was a couple months ago.
No, so it's final now. That's good. About it. And I think we're also at a point where we're going to be getting the Steam Summer Sale pretty soon as well. So that can
that's
help
right.
I'm thinking tomorrow, right? The 21st. Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Could be.
I don't know. I've been saving up for like 3 months for this.
Yeah, I guess I've been saving up. I don't know what the hell I'm going to buy, though.
I have so much stuff on my wish list. It's just, it's going to feel so good. Yes. A bunch of games I'll probably never play half of them, and I'm going to love it.
Isn't that how it normally works with Steam?
I just love it. Yeah.
All right. Well, you can find Sins of a Solar Empire Rebellion on Steam and full links to that, and I guess we'll put the Armada 3 mod as well there in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. So
nice plug, Shane.
Indeed. Right. All right, so what have we been up to? What have you been up to this week, Tannis, on RS?
I'm not gonna lie, I haven't played much RS this week. It was a slow week, so I've been kind of like taking my time. I know next week is going to be really busy. I'm going to be playing a lot next week. So, yeah, just been doing a little bit of Div, catching up. Once I got done with Hall of Memories, I was just done last week.
Burnt out on Div?
Yeah, I was just... Well, I was burnt out on that kind. I mean, I went back to making money, right? You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's all. And I'm not going to lie, man. I've been playing a lot of Elder Scrolls Online this week. so good.
All right. How about you there, Mr. Earth?
Well, like I said, I've been playing a lot of Sins of the Sins of a Solar Empire.
Now you know how I feel.
Yeah. But I'm taking classes here over the summer, but I went back home last weekend for Father's Day. That was pleasant. Stella got to run around in the backyard and exhaust my golden retriever. Yeah, my mom said that George and our other dog, Maddie, the day after we left, were just passed out. Like, they did not do anything that day. Because Stella is just over a year old, and she has a lot of energy. And she just loves George. And this weekend, I'm going up into the mountains. So.
Very nice.
Be careful if you hear a banjo.
Oh, I'll probably be the one playing the banjo. So.
Come here, boy. You got part
Come
of
here, boy.
All right.
You squeal like a pig, boy.
Well, with that being said, that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update.
Shane, what have you been doing?
Oh, right. I forgot about me.
That there's the first time for everything.
Wow, I never thought that would happen. Okay.
Yeah, but, you know,
this week on RS, I have been, you know, just doing a few Slayer tasks. Adam and Dragons, Abyssal Demons, Dark Beasts, bouncing back and forth between those. I got another Abyssal Demon Soul, so the dungeon is filling up with those. And I'm a couple siphons away from getting 99 invention, so that'll be fun whenever that happens. I am actively going for 99 invention. But beyond that on RS, not much to report. A couple, little bit of divination gathering throughout there as well. But in one of my Abyssal Slayer tasks, I did get an Abyssal Demon Head, so I'll be able to turn that into a pet at some point once I get the appropriate Soul Wars zeal for it. So.
Nice.
Put it in your house?
No, I'm not going to put it in my house. I got my KQ head in my house.
Mm. Ooh, nice.
Yeah. So that's me on RS. But as I was saying, that pretty much wraps up this episode of RSBNB Update. So we'll see you guys next week for Elite Dungeons. That should be a fun episode. In the meantime, if you guys want to catch up with us in-game, you can do that. You can find us at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. We're also on Twitter at RSBNB if you want to follow us there. And, of course, don't forget the Patreon account at patreon.com/RSBNB if you want to help us get to that next tier of support. We already reached our $15 tier, so you can look forward to that first show in early July. And if we reach $30, we'll do it in video as well. So with that being said, see you next week, everyone.
Bye, everyone. See ya. I'll appear next time I pop in and be like, hey, Shane, can I be on the show tonight?